Today's class will be given by His Grace Chaitanya Leela Prabhuji on Srimad Bhagavatam, verse 4.10.14. Hare Krishna Prabhuji, you are there on the call.
Yeah, Hare Krishna Mataji, please accept my humble obeisances. This is Chaitanya Leela Das from Bombay, India.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, all glories to Guru Maharaj. Thank you so much for joining Prabhuji and giving your association. We are really fortunate to have you on this conference session, Prabhuji. Thank you so much. You can take over the call. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. So I'd like to welcome all the devotees who have joined us this morning for the Srimad Bhagavatam class. Just to recite some praises. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 10. Chapter is entitled The Creation of the Fourth Order, Text 14.
हाहाकारस्तदैवासीत् सिद्धानां दिवि पश्यतां हतोऽयं मानवः सूर्यो मग्नः पुण्यजनार्णवे.
वर्ड टू वर्ड मीनिंग्स. हाहाकार द ट्यूमल्ट ऑफ डिसअपॉइंटमेंट तदा एट दैट टाइम एव सर्टनली आसीत् बिकेम मैनिफेस्ट Siddhanam, of all the residents of Siddha Loka, Divi, in the sky, Pashyatam, who were observing the fight, Hataha, killed, Ayam, this, Manavaha, grandson of Manu, Suryaha, son, Magnaha, set, Punyajana, of the Yakshas, Arnave, in the ocean. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Translation. All the Siddhas from the higher planetary systems were observing the fight from the sky. And when they saw that Dhruv Maharaj had been covered by the incessant arrows of the enemy, they roared tumultuously. The grandson of Manu, Dhruva, is now lost. They cried that Dhruva Maharaj was just like the sun and that now he had set within the ocean of the Yakshas. Purport. In this verse, the word Manava is very significant. Generally, this word is used to mean human being. Dhruva Maharaj is also described here as Manava. Not only is Dhruva Maharaj a descendant of Manu, but all human society descends from Manu. According to Vedic civilization, Manu is the lawgiver. Even today, Hindus in India follow the laws given by Manu. Therefore, everyone in human society is Manava or descendant from Manu. But Dhruva Maharaj is a distinguished Manava because he is a great devotee. The denizens of the planet Siddhaloka, where the residents can fly in the sky without airplanes, were anxious over Dhruva Maharaj's welfare in the battlefield. Srila Rupa Goswami says, therefore, that not only is a devotee well protected by the Supreme Lord, but all the demigods and even ordinary men are anxious for his security and safety. The comparison given here that Dhruva Maharaj appeared to merge in the ocean of the Yakshas is also significant. When the sun sets on the horizon, it appears that the sun drowns in the ocean, but actually the sun has no difficulty. Similarly, although Dhruva appeared to drown in the ocean of the Yakshas, he had no difficulty. As the sun rises again in due course at the end of night, so Dhruva Maharaj, although he might have been in difficulty, because after all, and in fighting activities, there are reverses.
that did not mean that he was defeated. Om Gyan Dhamirandhasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshuro Miram Yena Shri Gurave Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Ate Saraswate Gauravani Pacharine Nirvishesha Swamadi Paschadeshwarine Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Hare Krishna. So we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam 4.10.14. The translation reads, all the Siddhas from the higher planetary systems were observing the fight from the sky. And when they saw that Dhruv Maharaj had been covered by the incessant arrows of the enemy, they roared tumultuously. The grandson of Manu, Dhruva, is now lost. They cried that Dhruv Maharaj was just like the sun and that now he had set within the ocean of the Yakshas. So as we see, this is a very action-packed verse that is there in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Now, Dhruva Maharaj is kind of disturbed about the Yakshas having killed his son, having killed his brother, and therefore Dhruva Maharaj is here attacking the Yakshas. And the Yakshas also are in their full form and they are kind of retaliating with the attack of Dhruva Maharaj. And Dhruva Maharaj was shooting three arrows at one time, and the Yakshas are shooting six arrows at one time. So it might appear that the Yakshas are really, you know, superseding the efforts and endeavors of Dhruva Maharaj. And all the denizens of heaven, it is mentioned, the Siddhas from the higher planetary systems, they're also very much concerned about this whole thing, that Dhruva Maharaj is being, you know, showered and covered by the arrows. And they are expressing their dissent, they are crying out about how Dhruva Maharaj is, it looks like Dhruva Maharaj is getting defeated. So yes, we see that Srimad Bhagavatam has all these different kinds of varieties that is there. You know, here is a verse that is explaining about the fight between the Yakshas and Dhruva Maharaj. And similarly, Srimad Bhagavatam also has many different flavors. Just like any movie which goes out to become a very super hit movie, such a movie doesn't consist of just one flavor. It doesn't just have one particular flavor of comedy. No, any movie that goes on to become very successful has all these different aspects. It has some comedy, it has some horror, it has some adventure, it has some romance, it has some music, it has some saturation. There is some suspense, and then there is union, and, you know, after some action that is there. Similarly, in Srimad Bhagavatam also we see that, yes, there is the aspect of comedy. Krishna is killing the different demons. Different demons are arriving in different shapes and forms. And Krishna is very effortlessly killing all those demons in very innovative ways. And for the friends of Krishna, the other cowherd boys, it's just comedy. They are just relishing Krishna killing these big-time demons. And this is like, Putana coming in one form and they're like amazed. And then Krishna is killing Trinavarta, Krishna is killing Sakatasura, Krishna is killing Keshi, Bakasur, Aghasur. And the cowherd boys, they don't even bother. Like there is a episode where Krishna kills Vatsasura. And after Krishna kills Vatsasura, this happens before lunchtime. I mean, the cowherd boys, they have not yet taken their lunch. And Krishna is successfully killed Vatsasura, the demon who had come in the form of a calf. And he had mixed with the other calves. And Krishna kills him. And there in Srimad Bhagavatam mentions that the cowherd boys, they don't even care to narrate these pastimes after they return back to Vrajbhumi at the end of the day, because it was just natural. It was just an ordinary, a daily affair. So yes, there was comedy. Then there is horror in Srimad Bhagavatam. We read about the different hellish planets in the fifth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, and it's really fearful. There is horror aspect of it. There is adventure, how Lord Brahma is creating different planetary systems, different destination planets, and how different planets are revolving and rotating. All those adventure is there. Then there is romance. Krishna is marrying Rukmini. Pururava is wanting Urvasi. All this romantic aspect is there in Srimad Bhagavatam. There is the music aspect, the Gopi Geet, the Rudra Geet, the Venu Geet, the Uddhava Geet, like that. And then separation is there. Krishna is leaving Hastinapur for Dwarka, and there is Kunti Maharani. She is feeling that imminent separation from the Lord, and she is expressing out her heart to Krishna. She is beautifully, you know, the prayers of Kunti Maharani is such celebrated prayers. So that is the separation that is there in Srimad Bhagavatam. And there is suspense, the Samudra Manthan pastime, big suspense that how the demons and demigods, they want to churn out nectar, and they get the Mandara Parbat, but you know, the Mandara Parbat starts thinking, what to do now? Then the Lord comes as a tortoise and he gives a basis for the Mandara Parbat. And then the churning begins, and the first thing that comes is poison. Now what to do with that poison? So Lord Shiva is called. So he takes the poison. And then fire is being emitted on the side of the demons. So much of suspense is there. And the Lord comes at every juncture to help the demigods. And finally there is action. What could be a better action than Lord Narsingadev killing Hiranyakashipu? So that is the best of the actions that is there in Srimad Bhagavatam. But also in this particular verse, this episode, we are seeing that how, yes, Dhruva Maharaj is fighting the Yakshas, and all these demigods, all these Siddhaloka people from the Siddhaloka, they are like very much worried about the future of Dhruva Maharaj. So although this verse is a verse that depicts action, but this verse also gives a lot of hope, because the concurrent theme in this particular verse is that how a devotee is never ultimately defeated by anything. And Srila Prabhupada quotes Srila Rupa Goswami, and he writes that not only is a devotee well protected by the Supreme Lord, but all the demigods and even ordinary men are anxious for his security and safety. So although Dhruva may be appeared to have been defeated, but still he is rising again, and still he is like coming out, just like sun comes out of the clouds. So such wisdom that is hidden in Srimad Bhagavatam, that how the Lord is there to help his devotee, how a devotee is never ultimately defeated, such wisdom hidden in Srimad Bhagavatam is like a practical help that is being offered by Srimad Bhagavatam for a living entity who is entrapped in the material consciousness in this world. So how a living entity, the journey of a living entity in this material world begins from forgetfulness of the Lord. Krishna bhuliya jeeva bhogavancha kare nikata sthita tare maya jhapatiya dhare. So the journey begins with forgetfulness of Krishna. When a living entity forgets Krishna, he is entrapped by the material energy, and the twofold energies of the material energy of the Lord, the Avaranatmaka Shakti and the Prakshepatmika Shakti, they kind of entrap the living entity in this material world. And the journey, the living entity is like, continuing his journey in this material world with Punarapi Jananam, Punarapi Maranam, Punarapi Janani, Jathare Shayanam. And this repeated cycle of birth and death keeps continuing unless and until the living entity is blessed by a devotee of the Lord. Unless and until a devotee of the Lord, he intervenes in this ongoing journey of the living entity in this material world. And when a devotee blesses such a living entity, he brings him to Krishna consciousness. The living entity puts faith in his words. That is when the living entity's journey of getting out of this material world begins. So Adav Shraddha, it begins with faith. Tatha Sadhu Sangha, he starts associating with the devotees. Tatha Bhajana Kriya, then his Krishna consciousness, the devotional activities begin. And then after Bhajana Kriya, Anartha Nivritti, that is where it's kind of a plateau. It goes on for long. And that is the struggle that a living entity goes to get rid of his material consciousness. But then at the end, success is guaranteed. You know, this struggle that we are talking about is not natural for the living entity. It is said that the nature of the soul is anandamaya abhyasat. A soul naturally wants to be happy. It is not within the nature of the soul to be naturally struggling. And therefore, because the struggle is something unnatural, this struggle of becoming a devotee, the struggle of getting out of the material world is definitely difficult. And therefore, as a devotee, as a practicing sadhaka, one may tend to get tired and may want to give up because the struggle is really difficult. Because the nature of the material world is that there is bound to be problems, there is bound to be difficulties, there is bound to be challenges, even as a devotee. It is like being present in the, like this example, if someone is present in an ocean, the ocean has salty water, and the experience of a person who is present in the middle of an ocean very much depends on his attitude. A person who doesn't have proper attitude, he may be aspiring that I should be a happy being. Even though I am being lashed by the waves, even though the content of the ocean is salty, still somehow or the other, by my endeavors, I should be happy. I should be experiencing happiness. If someone has that wrong kind of an attitude, the experience is not going to be a very blissful one. On the other hand, for a has the right attitude that she wants to happily struggle to be out of this situation. Devotee is very concerned about the direction. Devotee is more concerned about the direction in which he is entering. And his answer is the help is being provided by God. To the channel of the Sadhan Shastra, to guide us and teach us and to help us. With the combination of one's own endeavor, Lord is sure to come victorious in the struggle. And just like about the movie, just like a movie doesn't always end on a sad note. In fact, a movie never ends on a sad note. A movie has to end on a happy note. After all the varieties of flavors and emotions have gone through, the ending is bound to be happy. So similarly, here is Dhruva Maharaj, who may seemingly appear to have been defeated and like covered with arrows, but at the end he comes out victorious. And this theme that we'll be discussing today is repeatedly mentioned in the shastras, that how the endeavor of a devotee is never lost and is ultimately victorious. In the Bhagavad Gita, second canto, 40th verse, there is a beautiful verse mentioned, Neha Vrikha Nashvasti Prayona Vidya Sumasya Dharmasya Kayate Mahato Bhayat. Those how the endeavor of a devotee, any endeavor made on this path, na iha abhikrama. Abhikrama
Hare Krishna, we lost Prabhu or I lost myself?
Hare Krishna, I think Prabhu got disconnected.
ਤੁਹਾਡੀ ਕਾਲ ਹੋਲਡ ਕੀਤੀ ਗਈ ਹੈ ਤੁਹਾਡੀ ਕਾਲ ਹੋਲਡ ਕੀਤੀ ਗਈ ਹੈ ਕਿਰਪਾ ਕਰਕੇ ਲਾਈਨ ਤੇ ਬਣੇ ਰਹੋ
ஹரே கிருஷ்ணா ஹரே கிருஷ்ணா ஐ திங்க் பிரபுஜி இஸ் நாட் தேர்
Yes, Mataji. Will you be able to call him, Mataji?
Vardhana Mataji, can you please connect Prabhuji? Hari Bol Dhanwad.
Yes, Mataji, I think that will work. Do you have his phone number?
Mataji, actually I am outside, Mataji, I cannot connect. Is Lalitangi Mataji on the call?
Yeah. What is Prabhuji's phone number?
Let me text you, Mataji.
Yeah.
I shared in Japa group, Mataji.
Hare Krishna, I'm sorry, I just noticed that I got disconnected. How long did I speak? Where was I? Hare Krishna.
Yeah, Hare Krishna Prabhu.
Only you were where you said the Lord always protects the devotees and you give the example of Narasimha Dev. So we lost
okay,
you.
That was long. That was pretty long back. Oh my God, I'm very sorry. I just kept looking at my notes. Just give me a second. Okay, so I think I was just speaking about the aspect of action that is there in Krishna consciousness, correct?
Yes, Prabhuji.
Okay, fine. So I'll just take up from there that how Srimad Bhagavatam also is describing not just these aspects of different flavors, but also Srimad Bhagavatam also is a very hope-giving piece of literature, and how this wisdom in Srimad Bhagavatam is of practical help. And in this particular verse, Srila Prabhupada is quoting Srila Rupa Goswami that not only is a devotee well protected by the Supreme Lord, but all the demigods, even ordinary men, are also anxious for his security and safety. And although Dhruva appeared to have been defeated, he rose again. Now, this wisdom that is hidden in Srimad Bhagavatam is like of a practical help for a living entity that is entrapped in the material consciousness. We know how the journey of a living entity in the material world is like begins with the forgetfulness of Krishna. Krishna bhuliya jeev bhogavancha kare nikata sthita tare maya jhapatiya dhare. That a living entity forgets Krishna and he is entrapped by the material nature. The material nature captures the living entity in two different ways, through his avaranatmika shakti and through the prakshepatmika shakti. And that is how, being entrapped by the material energy of the Lord, the living entity continues his journey in this material world, you know, and from different one body to another, the living entity keeps going in this repeated cycle of birth and death, punarapi jananam, punarapi maranam, punarapi janani jathare shayanam. And this journey, this process keeps continuing unless and until the devotee is blessed and blessed by the mercy of a devotee of the Lord. Because unless and until the devotee of the Lord intervenes in this journey of the living entity, there is no hope for the living entity to actually come out of material consciousness. And once the living entity gets this blessing of a devotee of the Lord, that is when the process of his coming out of the material world begins. And of course, there is a lot of struggle because the process of coming out of the material world is not easy. And just like the nature of the soul, it is mentioned that how the soul is anandamaya abhyasat. The nature of the soul is to enjoy. The nature of the soul is not to struggle. Because struggle is something unnatural for a spirit soul. And therefore, it is very difficult. So even when we start practicing Krishna consciousness as devotees, as practicing sadhakas, there could be a tendency, one may tend to get tired and may want to give up. Because the nature of the material world is that there is bound to be problems, there is bound to be difficulties, there is bound to be challenges, even as a devotee. I typically give this example as to how it's like being present in the ocean. If someone is present in the ocean, he is bound to experience the salty water of the ocean. And the experience of a person very much depends on the attitude of the person. If someone is having the wrong attitude that in spite of being in this place, I should be very happy living here, being beaten by the waves constantly, being, you know, having tasted the salty water, still I should be happy. Maybe that is a wrong attitude. But the correct attitude is that, yes, all things said and done, let me be happy struggling in the right direction to come out of my current situation. Now, when a person has this attitude that instead of endeavoring for being happy in this world, someone has the attitude of happily struggling to come out of this material consciousness, that is what attracts the mercy of the Lord. And that is when Krishna, he comes to guide us, to encourage us, and to help us. With that winning combination of one's own endeavor and the Lord's help, one is sure to come out victorious. Just like we were listening to the example of a movie. Now, just like a movie always ends on a happy note. After all the varieties of emotions, the end of the movie is always happy. So similarly here, Dhruv Maharaj seemingly appears to have been defeated, being covered with the arrows. But at the end, he comes out victorious. And this is this particular theme is what we'll try to discuss more today, that how this theme comes repeatedly in the Shastras, that how the endeavor of a devotee is never lost, and he ultimately becomes victorious. In the Gita, there is this beautiful verse, Neha Bikramana Shosti Pratyavayona Vidyate Swalpamapiyasya Dharmasya Trayate Mahatobhayat. Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport of this verse that how the nature of material work is that it needs to be completed for the result to be experienced. But the nature of spiritual work is that it has permanent benefit. There are innumerable instances in Srimad Bhagavatam which show that how Krishna is there to help his devotee. Now, the example of Bharat Maharaj is there, that how Bharat Maharaj, he was obliged to take his birth as a deer because he got attached to a deer. He thought of the deer when he was dying. As such, in the next birth, he became a deer. But even though he was there in the body of a deer, by the mercy of the Lord, he did not forget his previous life. Krishna was there to help him. Chitraketu Maharaj, he fell down and became Vritrasura, took the form of a demon due to his offenses at the feet of Lord Shiva. But in spite of all this, because he was surrendered to the lotus feet of the Lord, even though he fell down from his position of being an emperor, being as Chitraketu Maharaj, even as Vritrasura, he never forgot the lotus feet of the Lord. He never gave up the lotus feet of the Lord. Hare Krishna.
Yes, Prabhuji, we are good. Hare Krishna.
It's okay, Prabhuji. Okay. Just keep giving me feedback because I would not know when the call gets disconnected.
When you will get disconnected, Prabhuji, you will not hear us.
Okay, fine. So, we were discussing about the example of Chitraketu Maharaj, that how Chitraketu Maharaj also fell down due to his offenses at the feet of Lord Shiva. But still, as Vritrasura, he very much remembered the Supreme Lord. And similarly, Ajamil in his early life, he was a devotee and he was very much used to all the practices of Krishna consciousness. But then eventually he also deviated from his Krishna conscious duties. But Krishna arranged things in such a manner that he ended up naming his youngest child as Narayan. And at the time of giving up his body, he remembered this child and he called out for Narayan, for which he was given that benefit of doubt, and later on he was given that second chance and he perfected his life. Now this aspect of Krishna never leaving his devotee is also very beautifully explained in the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita in the pastime of Kala Krishna Das. So the episode goes that how Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he is out on his South India tour, and he's visiting all these different holy places, and he's accompanied by this devotee whose name is Kala Krishna Das, but due to some unfortunate association with the Bhattaharis, Kala Krishna Das gets attracted by the Bhattahari women, and he is captured by the Bhattaharis.
Call hold kiti gayi hai. Kirpa karke line pe bane raho.
आपका कॉल होल्ड पर है लाइन पर बने रहें या कुछ देर बाद कोशिश
द पर्सन यू आर
योर कॉल इज ऑन होल्ड प्लीज स्टे ऑन लाइन और कॉल तोड़ी कॉल होल्ड की गई है कृपा करके
हरे कृष्णा
Prabhuji,
you are back, yes. Thank you. So, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he has to personally go and rescue Kala Krishna Das. This is mentioned in the beautiful pastime, that how Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he actually saves Kala Krishna Das from the Bhattaharis and he brings him with him back to Jagannath Puri. So Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami appreciates, very much glorifies Lord Chaitanya for this particular endeavor. And in the Antilila, there is this beautiful set of verses which he pens down. He says, Sei bhakta dhanya jena chhade prabhura charana. Sei prabhu dhanya jena chhade nija jana. Glorious is that devotee who does not give up the shelter of his Lord. And glorious is that Lord who does not abandon his servant. Durdaiva sevaka yadi yai anya sthane sei thakur dhanya tare chule dharyane. If by chance a servant falls down and goes somewhere else, glorious is that master who captures him and brings him back by the hair. So this is the beautiful nature, this is the magnanimous nature of the Supreme Lord. And herein, in this particular verse, Dhruva might appear to have been defeated, but then his endeavors are not finished. And Srila Prabhupada is mentioning that how the comparison given here is that Dhruv Maharaj appeared to merge in the ocean of the Yakshas is also significant. When the sun sets on the horizon, it appears that the sun drones in the ocean, but factually the sun has no difficulty. Similarly, although the Dhruva appeared to drone in the ocean of the Yakshas, he had no difficulty. So devotee is compared to the sun, and these difficulties that may come in the life of a devotee is compared to the clouds. Just like in the rainy season, the sun might be appear to be covered by the clouds, but actually the sun is not covered by the clouds. As it's just a temporary phase by which a devotee, you know, once again comes out brilliant, comes out successful. The only prerequisite, the only requirement that is there, that a devotee has to have faith in the protection of the Supreme Lord. You know, this faith that is mentioned, the scripture says, Avashya Rakshive Krishna Vishwasa Palana. And this faith is beautifully demonstrated by Prahlad Maharaj. Prahlad Maharaj, when he was undergoing all these different tribulations by his father, when Prahlad Maharaj was being tormented in, you know, these different ways by the agents of Hiranyakashipu, Prahlad Maharaj was not holding Hiranyakashipu wrong for this, and he was not chastising Hiranyakashipu that, you know, what is this? Is this the behavior of a father? You know, is a father expected to behave like this? The only thing Prahlad Maharaj did was to take shelter of the Supreme Lord. He had faith in the protection of the Lord. And by the mercy of the Lord, Prahlad Maharaj was not just protected, but he also went on to become the emperor of the entire subterranean kingdom of the demons. And it is explained that when Prahlad Maharaj was reigning as a king, there were no fights between the demons and the demigods. But after Prahlad Maharaj renounced the throne and passed it to his own son Virochan, it is explained that the hatred between the demigods and the demons arose once again. So the Vamana Puran describes that why Prahlad Maharaj, you know, once again gave up his throne, and something like Dashrath, that Dashrath wanted Ram to be king. What was the reason? This is a beautiful incident which I thought of sharing with everyone on the call. The episode is that how once when Prahlad Maharaj was still ruling, there existed a sage who was bathing in a holy river, and this sage was bit by a serpent. This serpent coiled around the legs of the sage and dragged him under the water. But then because of the sincere faith in the protection of Lord Vishnu, the sage was not affected. And this serpent, the snake, pulled the sage all the way down to the subterranean kingdom of the demons, where Prahlad was ruling. And when Prahlad saw this sage having come there, Prahlad actually honored the sage. And during this conversation with the sage, it is explained that the sage actually inspired Prahlad Maharaj to visit different pilgrimage sites. Now, on this visits to different pilgrimage places, it is said that how one time Prahlad Maharaj, he comes to a very holy forest and he sees a pine tree which is pierced with arrows. Now, being a very compassionate person, Prahlad Maharaj is like, you know, he's feeling sorry that, you know, who might have pierced this particular pine tree with arrows, and the sap of the tree is flowing like tears. And then he saw near the tree there were two ascetics, you know, two renunciants. Now Prahlad Maharaj became very much angered by the sight of their arrows at this innocent tree, and Prahlad Maharaj actually attacked these two ascetics. But the ascetics, they easily defeat Prahlad Maharaj in battle. And when Prahlad Maharaj is defeated by these two personalities, Prahlad Maharaj once again takes shelter of Lord Vishnu. And Lord Vishnu, he tells him that he could only win over these two persons by devotion. And it is explained that how these ascetics were in fact Narnarayan rishis, the incarnations of Vishnu. To beg pardon for fighting Narnarayan rishi, Prahlad Maharaj, you know, he resolves to renounce his kingdom and he retires to perform penance. And after this incident, Prahlad Maharaj just served as an advisor to his successors. So yes, Prahlad Maharaj is a beautiful example of having this faith in the protection of the Supreme Lord. When someone has this faith in the protection of the Supreme Lord, Krishna definitely protects the endeavor of such a devotee. And just like this verse, Neha Vikramanashwasti, is there in the Bhagavad Gita. Similarly, in Srimad Bhagavatam also, there is a very beautiful verse in the first canto, fifth chapter, this is the seventh verse, which reads, Tektva swadharmam charanam bujam harer bhajan apakvo atha patet tado yadi yatra kva va bhadram abhud amushyakem ko varth apto bhajatam swadharmatah. One who has forsaken his material occupations to engage in the devotional service of the Lord may sometimes fall down while in an immature stage, yet there is no danger of his being unsuccessful. On the other hand, a non-devotee, although fully engaged in occupational duties, does not gain anything. So yes, in the material world, there are people who are engrossed in material activities, aspiring and working to become big in this world. And such people may accumulate a lot, but everything is lost with the loss of the body at the end. But a devotee, although repeatedly it may appear that he is overwhelmed by the situations, he may be overwhelmed by his own weaknesses or by actions of others, still at the end of his life, there is success awaiting for the devotee. It is said that in Krishna consciousness, the gifts of Krishna consciousness might be very meager. The gifts of Krishna consciousness in this life might be very meager, but the retirement plans are out of this world. So just like it is said that all is well that ends well. So someone may ask, what is the guarantee that for us it is going to end well? But then good practice definitely brings in perfection. Just like in the fields of sports, in the field of painting or any artwork for that matter, in the field of academics or in the field of devotional service, wherever there is a good practice, definitely it is going to bring in perfection. And even if it doesn't end well, everything is not lost. One doesn't have to learn ABC right from the very beginning in the next birth. In fact, Arjuna asks this question in the Bhagavad Gita. What is the destination of a person who couldn't achieve perfection in Krishna consciousness in this life? What if one was successful till a certain point of time? So he said that how one is sure, even if one is not successful at the end of his life, one is sure to have a chance in the next life of being born again as a human being, either in the family of a great cultured Brahmana or in a rich aristocratic family that will give one a further chance for elevation. So Arjuna's question is, will he be like a riven cloud? Will he be like a cloud, piece of cloud that gets separated from the bigger cloud and is like lost in the middle of nowhere? But Krishna clarifies that, you know, that is not the situation. A devotee is given a chance even in the next life, a favorable condition. In the Nectar of Devotion, Srila Prabhupada writes a very beautiful sentence. He mentions that what actually saves a devotee, and Prabhupada gives that it is the mellow that is relished in his service to the Supreme Lord, the bhakti ras. This bhakti ras that a devotee experiences, that a devotee relishes in his transcendental loving service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, this bhakti ras is not finished at the end of life. This bhakti ras continues perpetually, and therefore it is called amrita, which doesn't die but exists eternally. And finally, the Bhagavad Gita ends with this verse, Yatra Yogeshwara Krishna, Yatra Partha Dhanurdhara, Tatra Shrir Vijayor Bhutir, Dhruva Minitir Matir Mama. Wherever there is Krishna, the master of all mystics, and wherever there is Arjuna, the supreme archer, there will also certainly be opulence, victory, extraordinary power, and morality. That is my opinion. So this particular theme as to how Dhruva Maharaj is being seemingly being defeated by the Yakshas, and you know, all the residents of Siddhaloka are concerned about Dhruva Maharaj, goes to say that a devotee of the Lord is never alone. He always has the support of the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself, as well as the support of the demigods and even ordinary human beings, Prabhupada writes in the purport. And with that support in mind, with that help right next to oneself, one should be rest assured that this is not a journey that is expected to be completed alone. So just to summarize all that we have been discussing today, we began with discussing how Srimad Bhagavatam is a piece of literature which is full of a variety of flavors. And we saw that how, just like in a very successful movie, there are different flavors. The flavors of comedy is there, the flavor of horror, adventure, romance, music, separation, suspense, union, and action is there. Similarly, Srimad Bhagavatam also contains all these different flavors. And just like a fulfilling meal is one that has different flavors, if the meal just consists of one particular flavor, if the meal just has salty preparations or a meal just has sour preparations, it's not as relishable as a meal that has different kind of flavors with it. There are some salty preparations, there are some sweet preparations, there are some farsan, and so on. So similarly, Srimad Bhagavatam is also perfectly capable of helping a living entity who is entrapped in this material world. And this wisdom of Srimad Bhagavatam is very hope-giving while one is endeavoring to become Krishna conscious in this material world. And such an endeavor is not ultimately vanquished, just like the endeavors for material accomplishments, because Krishna is there to help his devotees. And we saw the example of Bharat Maharaj, the example of Chitraketu Maharaj, and the example of Ajamil, that how Krishna is always there to help his devotees. The beautiful pastime from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, we discussed that how Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he saves Kal Krishnadas from the association of the Bhattaharis. The only requirement that is bound to be there is faith in the protection of the Supreme Lord. And this is the beauty of the process of Krishna consciousness, that there is no danger of being completely unsuccessful. And finally, wherever there is a devotee who is following in the footsteps of the great devotee Arjuna, taking sincere shelter of Krishna, the master of all mystics, there is bound to be all opulence, victory, extraordinary power, and morality. with those words, I'd like to stop here. If anyone has any questions, maybe we can take up a few questions.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dhanavat, Pranam, this is Damodarananda Das from Bloomfield, Illinois. Thank you, Prabhuji, for a very nice lecture, and I like so many things, especially the mention of the retirement plan for the devotees. Very nice. Prabhuji, I always ask some questions to clarify certain things. It's not to raise controversy. So we have this pastime of Kala Krishna being rescued by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu from the Bhatta,
yes, Prabhuji. Bhattaharis.
But at the same time, you know, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not forgive the Chota Haridas.
Yeah.
How do we reconcile these two?
Srila Prabhupada actually explains this particular thing, that how when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes in this world, he comes as a devotee of the Lord. He doesn't behave as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And just like a devotee, he is very sensitive in his dealings. And Prabhupada mentions that a devotee could be as hard, as soft as a rose petal, or as hard as a thunderbolt. And similarly, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also, he teaches by his different examples, he teaches by different instances where one needs to be very strict with certain principles. At the same time, where there is a need of great amount of sensitivity, especially when it comes to dealings with others, like that. So yes, even in the case of Kala Krishna Das, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saves him from the Bhattaharis. But Chaitanya Charitamrita mentions that when he comes back to Jagannath Puri, he calls Nityananda Prabhu and all the other devotees, and he tells them that this person, he came with me to help me, but then he gave up my association, and therefore I do not want to see him. So yes, the activities of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, like the Gita mentions, it is divyam, janma karma chame divyam. It is transcendental. It is not like some ordinary activities of this world. So when Kala Krishna Das was abducted by the Bhattaharis, what was required was to save him. But then when they were back at Jagannath Puri, it was time for Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to help him get a lesson, to help him understand his mistake. And that is why Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, I don't want to see his face. Please, he can go anywhere he likes, but he cannot remain here. But then another aspect of it, which very beautifully comes out in that particular episode, is that how even the devotees of the Lord, they are more merciful than the Lord. And Nityananda Prabhu, along with all the other devotees, they request Kala Krishna Das to go to Navadvip, because he had been the witness of all the activities of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu on his South India tour. And the devotees in Navadvip were very eager to know about the different pastimes, were very eager to know, you know, about the whereabouts of Lord Chaitanya. And Nityananda Prabhu actually sends Kala Krishna Das to Navadvip, to the house of Sachi Mata, to explain the details of the journey they had together. So yes, talking about Chota Haridas, Lord Chaitanya was definitely very strict, because the principle that he was trying to establish was very profound. And similarly here, even in the case of Kala Krishna Das, there was a momentary failure on the part of Kala Krishna Das, and therefore Lord Chaitanya, he forgave that momentary fall down of Kala Krishna Das. And like in the Gita, he mentions, apechet suduracharo bhajate mam ananya bhag. There in the verse, it is mentioned that even if there is an unintentional fall down, it's not planned, it's not premeditated, you know, the Lord still considers such a person as his devotee. So yes, in both of these pastimes, the lesson that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wants to establish is that how, when it comes to serving the master, the principles that one is trying to follow should be very strictly adhered to. I mean, I take this in this particular light. Does that sound proper, Prabhu?
Yes, Prabhu, Hare Krishna. Wonderful. By telling the details, now it brings up the real flavor, because when we hear little bit, then, they sound very controversial and. But when you hear the details, then all the things get cleared. You get a clear vision. Thank you very much, Prabhu. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Dandavat Pranam, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Gurudev Ki Jai. Thank you very much for
having
me. Hare Bol. Please give your assistance regularly. Hare Bol.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. thank you for class. I had a question about the first part of your lecture where you were saying how unnatural it is for the living entity to be unhappy and to be struggling. And then you said that what we should be doing is happily struggling to, get back to our constitutional position. And so this term, happily struggling, seems like an oxymoron, a contradiction.
Yeah, very true.
So I'm just wondering how we should go about doing this struggle in a happy state.
Yes, the Gita helps us understand that, and in the Bhagavad Gita, the characteristics of transcendental knowledge is mentioned. This knowledge of Krishna consciousness, what are its characteristics? And one of the characteristics that is mentioned, the verse reads that Raj Vidya Raj Guhyam Pavitram Idam Uttamam Pratyaksh Avagamam Dharmyam Su Sukham Kartum Avyayam. So this factor of Su Sukham, this is happily executed. Prabhupada gives a very beautiful light in his purport in that particular verse, that yes, this is a happy struggle. It is still susukham. In spite of the different struggles, the different challenges, the different problems and difficulties, the bliss of Krishna consciousness is there for us to act as a fuel to keep moving us ahead in life. Just like a vehicle, when a vehicle is moving ahead, the road might be a little difficult, and therefore the journey might be a little tedious because of the nicely paved road. But if there is proper fuel in the vehicle, one is assured that he'll be completing his journey. So similarly, these inspirations of Krishna consciousness, these experiences of Krishna consciousness, they help us, they give us that assurance that yes, there might be difficulties. There were difficulties in the lives of even great souls like Vedanta Srimad Bhagavatam. There were difficulties in the life of Dhruva, there were difficulties in the life of Prahlad, difficulties in the life of Chitraketu, and innumerable such examples. So if these great souls were not, were like excused, who could we be? And therefore, if we just understand that till the time we are here in this material world, we will have to bear the nature of the material world. Just like we can consider the example of a swimmer who may be swimming in the ocean, he is bound to experience the salty water of the ocean. But at the same time, if he is properly swimming in the right direction towards the shore, he is assured that today I might be experiencing this, but eventually I am going to come out of the ocean water and be situated in a much better position. So that hope could be a cause of this happily struggling in this material world. And I know this is more theoretical than, a realized piece of statement. But then, yes, even moving ahead with this theory in mind, gives us that hope to keep continuing. It's not going to be easy. It's not definitely not easy. But at the same time, there is inspiration that is available. There is help that is available. And there are examples before us, brilliant examples before us to inspire us, to guide us, and to keep pulling us towards Krishna, towards the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord. Does that sound okay,
Mataji? Yes, I think the meaning I'm gleaning from what you're saying is that by happily struggling, we mean we struggle with enthusiasm.
Very true.
And so even though you may not be, wanting to smile and laugh at everything, but you have you're still enthusiastic to persevere because maybe we might be getting some encouragement from our Krishna conscious experiences somehow.
Yeah, true.
I mean, this is how I'm interpreting your statements.
Yeah, I feel that's perfect.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much for explaining, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Do we have any other questions?
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, thank you so much for the very, very wonderful class. Prabhuji, I don't have questions, but anybody else has questions they can ask. If no one has questions, we can end now. Thank you so much for your time and beautiful discourse. Ancha Kalpatarubhyascha Krupa
Sundarbhyascha. Patitanam Pavatibhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha.
Ananta Koti Vaishnavrinda Ki Jai.
Jai.
Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai. Grantara Asam Ki Jai.
Jai.
Isklesh Chaitanya Leela Prabhu Ki Jai.